Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Professor Richard Epstein all smiles, as I am, because we're turning to the tax code, which is a challenge to explain, so I won't attempt it. There is one aspect of the tax code I've read about most recently in an excellent article to the National Review Online. Social Security checks, of which I am a recipient, and I'm glad to be here. It took some luck. However, I learned that my Social Security check that comes every month, thank you very much, is taxed. Oddly, I thought to myself, why are they taxing something that I contributed to all my working life and continue to because I'm still working? What I've learned is that it was not taxed until 1979 under the Carter administration, when suddenly it was taxed 50% of it. And then under the Clinton administration, in the late 20th century, that percentage, I believe, was raised to 85%. The whole puzzle to me, Richard, and there is a proposal by former President Trump to eliminate tax on Social Security, is that the tax is the government taking back what it said was it was reserving for me or the worker for 40 years or more. And it seems a very strange decision on the government's part, because taking the revenue and using it as they will. It's not about the retired people who are needful.
Okay, let's just start from the beginning, all right? The root of this problem of how you tax Social Security comes from the fact that you have no idea of exactly what kind of a fund it is. So if you invest today in a pension fund, plain old ordinary pension fund, with Fidelity or any one of these other companies, what happens is you have an amount in your account. You know to the dollar, to the penny, what it is. And then when you make an option to take it out, you know precisely how much of it is a return of capital, that is getting back money that you put in, and how much is income. And what you can do is planning accordingly. One of the great questions to ask about Social Security is how much money do I have in my Social Security account? And nobody knows at any time, which is why different advisors give you different advice, because there is no separate amount that's set aside for you. It's all done by very funny formulas of one kind or another. And you have no idea, if you don't know exactly what your life expectancy is, what your children, your spouse is, and so forth, to figure out whether you retire at this age or that age. And so it's all crapshoot. Well, the correct way to do this, and this is at variance with the National Review, is you put all this particular money in, and you have income, and you have capital. And so the question is, in which sequence do you take these two things out? So to make it very simple, suppose what you did is you put in $100,000, and now with the growth of time, you have $250,000, because of the appreciation. Just assume that. When you take out your first $100, are you taking it out from the appreciation so it's all income? Or are you taking it out from the invested capital so it's all return of money, no tax? Or you're taking it out under a 3-to-2 ratio? The current system, I believe, is that you basically get the income out first and the return of capital later, which, of course, means that you're going to get 100% tax for a very long time, which is what they're talking about. The correct view, I think, is to prorate it and to say, when you take this money out, figure what the capital account is, and if it turns out that you have 60% of it is the appreciation, you tax 60% of it, give it a return of capital of 40%, and then the basis that you have goes down, and you keep this going until you've expired. What happens is, I can't vouch for this story, and it's a great story. I haven't read it. But what is very clear is the whole accounting system under Social Security is a complete craziness, because there's no vested rights that any individual has. Well, why is it that they did it in this particular way? And there's a very clear reason why they did. Is what happens is they wanted to get people in 1935 to receive Social Security, even if they had not contributed a dime to the system, because they were 62 or 65, whatever the eligible age was at the time, and they want them to be in. Well, if you want to give people money, right, of which they haven't contributed, you have to take the money from somebody else. And so the way in which the system worked is that the Social Security benefits were based on some formula. Today it's 32 quarters or something like that. Then it was immediate eligibility. So the people who come into the system, you know, they contribute $10 to Social Security and they live for another 25 years and they pull out $100,000. That's a pretty good return on a $10 investment. You trace this over the various decades. And each decade, it turns out that the deferred maintenance on this account gets worse and worse. And so the rate of return that you get gets lower and lower. And for anybody who's probably at this point under 50 years of age, if you keep the current system and even ignore the pending insolvency, which may take place in the 2030s, what happens is their rate of return becomes negative. So investing in Social Security by the time you get everything out and so forth, and with all the restrictions, that's a high amount of money, and you're not going to get it back. The whole system is really extremely odd. And essentially, to take a case like myself, I got into Social Security at the maximum level in 1968 when I started teaching. I think my salary was about $11,000, and the Social Security amount was maybe 7-8, something like that. And then it keeps going up, and after 32 quarters, right, essentially you're fully vested, and then you keep on putting in additional money for the next 40 years, and you don't get a single dime extra by virtue of the additional calculations that you start putting in. So Social Security has always been a discretionary punching bag for political administration, and it turns out the Supreme Court, at least in the pre-Chevron days, or the pre-current days, the Loper-Bright day, gave Congress pretty much a free pass on doing whatever it wants. And so everybody who looks at Social Security, you see this very unhappy situation. For many people, Social Security is the dominant form of payment because they do not have large amounts of pension saved up, and they don't have a large equity in their home. They may have rented, for example, for all their lives. And so, you know, these people, if you get it right, it's a little, if you get it wrong, it's crazy. Now, most of them, of course, will essentially have very little income coming out of this so that they will get a larger share. And what the administration was trying to do was to make sure that people who have limited funds get the money back tax-free, and people who are much richer get the money back only paying the income tax so that you get redistribution within these programs. And there's no way any private fund could survive if they use those sorts of antics. The genius of these private funds is you could pull your assets in many, many different ways and so forth, but you always have a separate account on what you put in and a separate account on what you take back. So you don't have to worry about being forced to subsidize somebody else, and you don't have to worry or hope that you can get somebody else to subsidize you. And that's why these funds do extremely well.
Detail then about the change in 1979 during the Carter years and the change in the Clinton administration. That seemed arbitrary at the time. I mean, they had reasons for it, but there's long since forgotten. Does that mean Congress can change it back?
And well, that's always been the rule, that Social Security benefits are not vested, which means that they're vulnerable to change by political action. And this came up, I remember, God, you caught me unaware, a case called Fleming and Nestor back in the 50s.
We have 30 seconds, Richard. Go ahead.
Was a decision which said that Social Security was not a strong entitlement, so it could be varied and removed by Congress. And if you could remove it in an individual case, you could change the system for everybody else. So what's happened is Social Security in a highly contentious age where there are lots of differences between rich and poor and lots of polarization will again, now that it's getting close to insolvency, be a political punching bag for everybody.
It certainly is part of the campaign, and not a broadcast part of the campaign. They're arguing about cultural things, but a tax part. Richard Epstein, Hoover Institution. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details. Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.